Good morning and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and welcome to yet another online service. We pray that you'll feel the presence of the Lord as we worship together in this rather unique way. A couple of announcements I'd like to share with you. First of all, our brother George Scott has passed away, gone home to glory, and now is basking in all that God has for him in heaven. His private family service was held on Saturday. There may be a memorial service at a later time. Please remember our annual meeting on the 28th of January at 7 o'clock, and this will be unique for us. We are doing it online via Zoom. You'll be getting information about this shortly. Also, please keep in mind our brother Gord Osborne, who has been going through some treatments, and we pray God's blessing upon him for a quick healing. Please remember, too, and you would know this if you're already tuned in, but the way in which to get online to view this service is www.campbellfordbaptist.org. You may also wish to have your Bibles with you. We're going to be looking at two passages this morning. The first will be in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, and the second will be in the book of Revelation, chapter number 16. Our opening hymn, if we had been singing together, is Our God Reigns. I'm going to read these words to us. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. Good news, announcing peace, proclaiming news of happiness. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. He had no stately form. He had no majesty, that we should be drawn to him. He was despised, and we took no account of him. Yet, now he reigns with the Most High. Out from the tomb he came with grace and majesty. He is alive. He is alive. God loves us so. See, here his hands, his feet, his side. Yes, we know he is alive. And then the composer of this hymn concludes with the chorus, Our God reigns, our God reigns, our God reigns, our God reigns. Praise be to God. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we offer praise unto you this day because we know deep in our heart and in our soul that you reign. You are sovereign. You are king over all. We praise you and we thank you and we bless your holy name. We pray for the presence of your Spirit. Even though we are separated by distance, you bring us together by the power of your Spirit. Help us during this time of worship. May all that is said and done be acceptable in your sight. For we praise you in our Savior's name. Amen. Believe it or not, the last Sunday that we looked into the book of Revelation in somewhat of an in-depth study that we've been doing over the past number of months was on November the 8th. And then Pastor Nate spoke, and following that, we had our Advent services into our Christmas Sunday service. And then, praise be to God, we were also able to hold two Christmas Eve services. A goodly number of people turned out. Wasn't quite the same as an overly packed church, but nonetheless, it was a good time to get together. And then, of course, along came COVID and required churches and other institutions to be shut down. But despite the lockdown, we are able to continue to worship our Lord and our God. We're able to continue to pray, and we're able to continue to sing praises unto his name. But through it all, because we are believers in and followers of Jesus, let us never forget the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We don't have a hope in world government. We don't have a hope in our own governments. We don't have a hope in all that's going on in the world today. But we have our hope, our well-founded, well-grounded hope in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. And we are reminded that our God reigns. We have this hope for today. We have this hope for tomorrow. We have the hope for all of the tomorrows that are ahead of us. May we never forget in all of this, though, that Jesus is returning one day, and that day may not be too far away. And then the prayers of millions of people over all of the centuries will have been answered. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Praise be to God. That day is coming. Before we delve a little more deeply into the book of Revelation, I draw our attention to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, beginning to read at verse number 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What do we note in this passage? First of all, we note that Jesus, by God the Father, has been given him all authority. That is, all authority in heaven and on earth. Whatever there is in heaven and on earth, throughout the universe, the heavens, I believe, are higher than the universe itself in its great expanse. But the word tells us that Jesus has been given all authority over heaven and earth and everything in between. Secondly, Jesus instructed his disciples to go, to make disciples of all nations, meaning believers, people everywhere in all nations, baptizing them and teaching them. Teaching them what? The scripture tells us to obey everything that he has commanded. It means that we need to take his word very seriously. Our walk, our journey with Jesus began at our conversion, but it doesn't stop there. As believers in and followers of Jesus, you and I need to do all within our power to read and absorb and apply his word. We need to know his word. We need to spend time understanding what his walk was like, what his way is like, and what his word is like. It means that you and I need to either gradually or instantaneously receive a biblical view of what's going on in the world. So what does a biblical view mean? It means that we look at the world as God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit looks at the world, as they see what is going on. We try to look at it from a divine perspective as we understand in reading the Word of God. It means that our opinions need to be formed from what Scripture tells us and not what culture tells us. Culture is not always right. Many times it's absolutely wrong. Governments are not always right. But you and I, we need to form our opinions based on what Scripture tells us. And it means we need to be genuine in our walk with the Lord. And so genuine, in fact, that we want others to come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord as well. We need to influence others to the best of our ability and led by God's Spirit into accepting Jesus as Savior also. So I have a challenge for us on this 24th of January, 2021. If we really believe that Jesus is the only way, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, if we really believe that, that means that everyone who does not put their trust in Jesus has a destiny in hell for all eternity, and not a destiny in heaven. You and I need to grieve for those. We need to plead with God to lead us to those people so that they will come to have an understanding knowledge of the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's a difference between them spending eternity in heaven with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and or eternity in hell. So the challenge is this. Would you ask the Lord, through the power of his Holy Spirit, to give you one person during this coming year, all the days that are left in 2021, at least one person to whom you can share your faith, at least one person to whom you can witness, at least one person for whom you could pray, for whom you could tell them that God loves them and has a plan for their life, that you can share your faith in a meaningful way, that they too will put their trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord? Oh, you do not need to be limited to one, but ask God to give you at least one. It may be a family member. It may be somebody that you know that's been backsliding, which is the old term that used to be used, that who is not walking with the Lord these days, and you want them to walk with the Lord. It may be a neighbor, or acquaintance, or friend, someone that you know who's going to spend eternity in hell if they do not put their trust in Jesus as Savior and as Lord. So that's a challenge for you and for me for this coming year. Last Sunday, Pastor Nate reminded us to add to our faith and to live each day for Jesus with eternity in view. Live each day with Jesus with eternity in view. Not only for me, not only for you, but also for those with whom we come in contact who know not Jesus. Pray for them. Pray for an opportunity to share your faith with them. That's one of the reasons why we have been looking in depth at the book of Revelation. We're looking at the book of Revelation because these are the words that God Almighty gave to Jesus, and Jesus transmitted these words to an angel, and an angel gave these to John, and then John recorded all that he was allowed to record, and it's there in the Word of God for you and for me to know. So in many ways, we as Christians are absolutely unique. We're unique because we know what's going to take place in the future, because this is the revelation of God through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. So you might ask, where are we now in this future panorama that is before us? Well, you might like to keep the word CART, C-A-R-T, in mind. C-A stands for church age, R stands for rapture, and T stands for tribulation. So where are we now? We are in the church age. Every true believer in Jesus is listening attentively to hear the trumpet that's going to call. When that trumpet blows its signal, we then know that every true believer throughout the earth, north, south, east, and west, the world over, are going to be caught up to be with Jesus and be with him for all eternity. Wherever Jesus will be, wherever he'll be reigning, we'll be with him. Our home, our ultimate home, is in heaven with him. So we will be going up. The rest of the world, unbelievers, will be stay down. They will be left here on this earth. They'll be left behind, and they will experience the horrendous time of tribulation, C-A-R-T, church age, rapture, tribulation. Praise be to God. For them, this tribulation only lasts 7 years. But as I said, it is going to be a horrendous 7 years. It's a time when you and I really would not want to be on earth. One of the saving graces of all of this, though, is that even during this 7 years of horrendous tribulation, while most people will reject God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there will be some who will finally put their trust in Jesus. They're going to go through a terrible time. They may well be killed for their faith. This very likely will happen, Scripture tells us. They may even be beheaded for their faith, but at least they have placed their trust in Jesus. Sadly, of all the world's population that will be left behind on this earth, most of them, the majority of them, will reject God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So now let us turn to Revelation chapter 16, beginning to read at verse 1 through to and including verse number 7. Let us hear the word of God. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth." The first angel went and poured out his bowl on the land, and ugly and painful sores broke out on the people who had the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. The second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it turned into blood like that of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died. The third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. Then I heard the angel in charge of the waters say, You are just in these judgments, you who are and who were the Holy One, because you have judged. For they have shed the blood of your saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink as they deserve. And I heard the altar respond, Yes, Lord God Almighty, true and just are your judgments. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Revelation chapter 16, verses 1 to 7. You heard the word wrath. The scripture says in verse 1, go pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth. Many people, Christians and non-Christians, have heard about the love of God and how the love of God is absolutely overwhelming. And indeed, that is true. But many people have not also heard of the wrath of God. There is a point in future when God is going to say, enough is enough. Enough people have rejected me, my Son, and our Holy Spirit. Enough people do not put their trust in me. Therefore, now is the time for their judgment, and that judgment is coming. My dad was born in Newfoundland, brought up in Newfoundland, and then moved to what was then known as the mainland. He moved to Nova Scotia. And then a friend of his from Newfoundland visited, a Mr. Allen, and Mr. Allen came and stayed at our house for a number of days. My dad and Mr. Allen would get into a lot of discussions based on Scripture. Mr. Allen was so overwhelmed by the love of God because it was the love of God that saved him, and in fact, it's the love of God that saves you and me and everyone else who puts their trust in Jesus as Savior. But Mr. Allen thought this way. He said the love of God was so magnanimous, it was so great, it is so far-reaching, it is so wonderful that absolutely everybody will end up in heaven. Well, he was right on one part. God's love is magnanimous. It is magnificent. It is all-encompassing. Praise be to God for that. It encompasses even sinners. Sinners who confess their sin and put their trust in Jesus as Savior. My dad asked Mr. Allen whether or not Stalin or Hitler or Mussolini or many of the other tyrants throughout the world, even some matters of faith today. People believe that the job is to kill Christians, to eliminate the world of Christians. Does God's love extend to them? Well, God's love does extend to them, but only if they respond to him by accepting Jesus as Savior and Lord. To my knowledge, Hitler or Stalin or any of these others have never put their trust in Jesus. Therefore, they are spending eternity not in glory with him, but in hell and in great torment. Verse number 2, the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the land, and ugly and painful sores broke out on the people who had the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. There are three words. We're going to look at three of the seven judgments this morning, and three words for you and me to remember. All three words begin with the letter S. The first one is sores, S-O-R-E-S. The second one will be C, and the third one will be springs. So in verse number 2, these sores broke out, and you'll notice that they're ugly and painful. Back in 1928, penicillin was first discovered. Apparently, it wasn't used, if my sources are correct, in humans until 1941. And it was termed the miracle drug to decrease infections and heal people. How wonderful it has been. We've been waiting for a vaccine of some nature to look after this COVID pandemic that's going on throughout the world. I understand from authorities that about 1% of the population is being affected by COVID. If this had been Ebola, for example, 80 to 90% of people are affected by it. It appears as though for COVID there is a vaccine that is workable and is effective. But for these sores that are ugly and painful, there will be no vaccine. This is what people who are left behind will be experiencing during the last part of the 7-year tribulation period. You'll notice in this verse, it says that these painful sores broke out on people who had the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. We need a little bit of history. When the rapture occurs, and all true Christians, a billion, I suppose, people, or maybe more, taken out of this earth, the earth will be left behind with those who are unbelievers, and the earth will be in utter chaos for a period of time. But out of this chaos will emerge a world leader, a world dictator called the Antichrist. Along with him, there will be someone who will gather all the people together in some sort of a religious expression, and he will be the world religious leader, the false prophet. Now, as a few months or a couple of years go along, the world leader, the world dictator, is going to demand that everyone swear their allegiance to him. And in order to indicate their allegiance, they will have a mark on their forehead or on their right hand. This indicates that they are swearing allegiance to him, and it also indicates, on the negative side, that they will not be putting their trust in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As mentioned earlier, some people will receive Christ as Savior. They will not want to take this mark. They will not take this mark. If they do, it will show that their allegiance is to the Antichrist and not to God the Father. I don't know where you stand. I don't know whether you believe in this or not, but it's going to happen. And if you've not placed your trust in Jesus, you are going to go through the tribulation period, unless death overtakes you first. But when you go through that tribulation period, do not take the mark of the beast if you are left behind. Put your trust in Jesus, because that is the only saving grace that you will have. This sores, this pandemic of sores, ugly and painful sores, will be on all who have taken the mark. It's going to be an absolutely devastating time. Verse number 3. We looked at sores. Now look at the word sea. The second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it turned into blood like that of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died. When we studied Revelation chapter 8, verse 8, we noticed there was a limit on God's judgment. 1/3 of the sea was going to be affected. But that's not the case now. That was back in Romans 8, verse 8. Now in Revelation. And now in Revelation chapter 16, we see that the entire sea is going to be affected. And what does the scripture say? And every living thing in the sea died. Absolutely amazing when we think about it. Perhaps there are people who are asking themselves the question, how is it that God can be so cruel? Well, of course, that's their perspective. But from the biblical worldview, from God's divine view, from God's perspective, these are people who have rejected him over and over and over again. They had ample opportunity to put their trust in him and in his son, but they refused to do so, and now their judgment is coming. This is one way in which God is getting their attention. It's a way in which God is informing them that they need a Savior, and Jesus is the only one who could be their Savior. And then we come to the third word, springs. So we looked at sores, sea, and now springs. In verse number 4, the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. Just imagine, now we have the springs, the fresh water that's turned to blood. People will have unimaginable thirst. Back somewhere in primary school, we learned something about the water cycle. It is going to be forever altered. It will not be working the way that it works even today. And then in verse 5, then I heard the angel in charge of the waters. That's amazing to me. There's an angel in charge of the waters. It seems to me there are probably angels in charge of other items of God's creation as well. But here we know of an angel in charge of the waters. And this angel says this, you, he's speaking to God Almighty, you are just in these judgments. You who are and who were the Holy One, because you have so judged the Holy One. I love that term. Many people refer to the God of Israel as the Holy One of Israel. God revealed himself to the people of Israel, to Abraham and the people who became the people of Israel. It was the only nation on earth, the only one on earth to whom God revealed himself in that way. And the Israeli people, they have so much to pass on to this world. They pass on the word of God. Jesus was born in Israel. He lived and his ministry was in Israel. He ascended on high in Israel. He is returning one day to Israel. And from there, the whole world is going to be governed. Praise be to God. And then we read in verse number 6, for they, the people who've left behind, and down through the ages, for they have shed the blood of your saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink as they deserve. Now remember, the word saints refers to believers, not just a select group of people elected by a certain denomination, and they are proclaimed saints. No, the scripture, when it uses the word saints, refers to everyone who places their trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord. And down through the centuries, many Christians, including the century in which we live, this new century, many Christians are being martyred for their faith. People doing so think falsely that they are doing the will of God. This is not what they are to do. And ultimately, they are going to receive their judgment and the punishment that is due to them. In verse number 7, and I heard the altar respond, yes, Lord God Almighty, true and just are your judgments. This chapter began with the words, then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying, and then the instruction was given. Most theologians believe this loud voice was indeed the voice of God the Father, speaking out, giving instructions to the angels as to what it was they were to do. We learn that God's judgments are absolutely true and righteous, and judgment day is coming. You know that. I know it. I think subconsciously the whole world knows it, that a judgment day is coming. But they need to put their trust in Jesus. I wonder how seriously we take the words of our Lord Jesus. So in conclusion today, I've said it before, I'll say it again. This world is in for a big surprise. What is that big surprise? It is when the trumpet sounds and every true believer, because of the rapture, is taken up out of this earth to be in glory with Jesus. But unbelievers are going to be left behind. Believers going up, unbelievers staying down. They are going to experience God's judgments in the beginning of the book of Revelation, and then finally his final seven judgments before things change completely. We've looked at three of those seven judgments, three of those bowls being poured out on those left behind. We looked at them sores and sea and springs. Now the question I have for each of us is, do you want to go through the tribulation? I certainly do not. The only way out of going through the tribulation period is to know Jesus as Savior and Lord, so that when that trumpet sounds, you will hear it. I will hear it. And when he says, come up here, we'll come up to be with him. Do you also feel for family members, for friends, for neighbors, for acquaintances who know not Jesus as Savior? Remember now, what they believe determines where they're going to spend eternity. Put your trust in Jesus, you'll be with him forever. Reject Jesus, you'll be without him forever. You'll go through the tribulation, and your long-term destiny will be in hell and not in heaven. Father, we pray your blessing upon all who hear my voice this day. We pray, O God, that you would reach out, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would allow each and every one of us to reach out in our faith and to touch somebody and share our faith with them so that they will come to know you as Savior and Lord. This is our prayer, and we thank you in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, if we were going to sing in our congregation, we would sing these words as the final hymn. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know it is true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else could do. The chorus goes, I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Now, we may sing these words, I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. And I wonder if we do that. I wonder if we tell it to others the way that we should. I love to tell the story. 'Tis pleasant to repeat what seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. For those that you and I know that have never heard the story of salvation, let us tell them this story. I love to tell the story to those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. May you and I tell that story over and over and over again. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.